Hello, welcome to the Lean on Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Hello, hello, welcome to the podcast. I've been thinking so much about the process of learning and why some people seem to be able to become wildly successful, build habits, and others consistently struggle. And last Saturday, my kids and I, and Nick, of course, we all went, the family, to go and get bagels and coffee at one of the, I wouldn't say one of the only good places in our town, but definitely the only bagel spot. Like, we live in a really small town. And there was this little community garden there. Obviously, my kids are children and they get bored very fast. So they went and found something to do. And they've gotten really into collecting flowers and making these little bouquets. And so it's been about a week that my daughters have been bringing me these tiny little bouquets. But what was fascinating was even in the space of about 20 minutes that we were sitting there finishing our coffees and talking, the kids had upgraded their bouquets multiple times in that. And they kept bringing me little bouquets and I'd say, wow, that's amazing, like good perseverance and I like what you've done there. And especially with my 8-year-old, I could see that they were getting progressively better and better. And it got me thinking a lot about play and how kids learn. And as I've been trying to ride my skateboard more and learn new things on that, I've really started to try to analyze, like, what is it about the way that kids think and act and play essentially that allows them to stay engaged in something and learn a skill set much faster most of the time than adults do. And kids really do learn through play. And it turns out that that's one of the best ways for adults to learn as well, which is kind of a duh moment, right? Like, we all know that when we play and when we engage in something that we find interesting and we do it more and more and more, it's almost inevitable that we get better at it. But when you contrast the way that children learn through play and the way that adults try to learn, they're very different beasts, and the way that we approach our learning as adults has some very fundamental flaws. So this episode, I want to talk about what are the fundamentals that make play-based learning more enticing, something that we are more likely to repeat, how we can use some of those things as adults to build habits, specifically around exercise and weight loss, and then what actually is holding us back from doing these consistently difficult things to build the habits, what we can learn from play and gamifying our lives, and then just taking a bit of a less serious look at the process, falling in love with the journey, not just the outcome, making it fun so that we actually do it, and then really asking ourselves what matters to us. And if it doesn't, then moving on and doing that with humility, or maybe not, that's not the right word, just grace for not having to do things. Because kids, when they play, like, they don't have to have a certain outcome. The most important thing that I want to get across with this episode is that if we want to build consistency in our lives with our diet, with exercise, with our habits, with changing our identities in all in or all out thinking, binging, all of those kind of things, we are going to need to put in significant amounts of practice. We are going to need to repeat those actions that we want to create habits for over and over and over again until they become muscle memory. I think we can all agree that that's what's required. Like, no, if there's anyone that's like, no, Charles, I object, that is not true, like, put your hand up and then please put it down again. Because repetition, like, we just know it, right? No one's arguing with this. So here's the thing. We have to make things possible. I was going to say enjoyable, but they don't have to be enjoyable. But we have to set up systems where we are able to do them consistently. So the more consistently that we can do something, the more repetitions that we can put in, the more likely we are to succeed. So repetition at the base of everything is the formula for success. Repeating the correct actions over and over again. Let's move on. The reason that play allows us to do this is that it makes it more fun, and therefore we do more. This is the first thing that happens. If we're enjoying the actions that we do, then we're much more likely to repeat them over and over again because we have an innate sense of reward. If we're just goal focused, which is what adults tend to do, which kids are really not, like when they're playing, the goal itself is play. They don't have necessarily some kind of end game in mind. They're enjoying the process. So if the process is really, really miserable and we don't have these micro dopamine hits where we hit a little goal or we kind of reach a new level or we have something that spurs us on, if it's really an onerous, awful process, then we're very unlikely to continue that very long because we're not getting a feedback reward into our brains that is a behavior that we should repeat. So the first question to ask ourselves is, how can we make our processes fun? How can we make the habits that we're trying to build actually fun in and of themselves? And I thought a lot about the difference between pleasure, so just pure hedonism, and games, because that's essentially what we're trying to do here. So we're trying to gamify and game the system. I think hedonism or pure pleasure is the goal itself is to feel a certain way. Like it feels really, really good in the moment. If you think about things like just eating your favorite burger or sex or scrolling on your phone, there's immediate pleasure there, but there's not really something that goes beyond that point. There's not really an ongoing positive outcome to that. It just feels great. Whereas if you think about the process of having fun or creating some kind of game, normally there is little teeny tiny goals, or there is some kind of, maybe not even goals, but there is a sense of being able to make progress. And if you think about a board game, you can see this and visualize it really well, where you start on square such and such, and then you're moving your die, or you're moving your little character through tiny, tiny, mini tasks, whether that's just rolling the die or completing some stupid kind of charades. You're having these little micro bursts of rewards to your brain that it's positive for you to continue on, to continue moving forward. I wanted to say that first and foremost because as we get onto the episode and we talk about analyzing, like, whether we're enjoying the process, this is one of the key ways that you can do that, is that you can create these little tiny micro milestones to make that more enjoyable. But in something being enjoyable is not dependent on it being super pleasurable. I hope you can see the difference there. So play is process-based. It's not outcome-based. And I think about this a lot when I go to the gym, in that I enjoy this feeling of, it's almost like you get to the end of your rep and you gotta lift up higher, or you're going and you're feeling that sense of like completion that every time that you go and you do a new exercise. And there's a sense of play in that. There's a sense of enjoying the process because you can hit these little tiny bursts of feeling like you're making progress. And as you do that, it becomes more enjoyable. And as I'm getting into skating more, which has honestly become a very positive obsession, because I'm getting better at it, it's so enjoyable. And I just want to practice like all the time. And if it wasn't raining so much, I'd be out there on the skateboard And there's so many times where I don't really feel like I'm making progress. And what I'm doing is not inherently like super, super stimulating. It's not like I'm going on this amazing pump track all the time. Like I'm trying to go to things like a pump track or the skate park. But even simply just being on the board on a flat piece of concrete, it's so much fun, or it feels like such a game, because there's always something new that I can try. There's always like a little thing that I can get slightly better at. And it's that feeling of, oh, I made a little bit of progress. I moved my character slightly forward, even if a lot of the times you're feeling like you're going backwards. It's that is so incredibly addictive. But if you contrast this with how we tend to approach our weight loss and eating more vegetables, prepping, all of those things, we don't see those little tiny things as enjoyable or as successful. We don't have a reward feedback loop where those processes in and of themselves become satisfying, because we get very, very focused and serious about the outcome. And this is the biggest difference between play and which is what children do and what adults do, is that one of them is very, very focused on just hitting a specific goal. And anything that is not the goal is kind of seen as worthless, or it's not rewarding in and of itself. And I see this so much with women who will have prepped their meals, or they would have brought food with them to an event that they normally wouldn't have. They would have said something to their mother-in-law and kind of stood up for themselves for the first time. And rather than having like this mini like, oh, I moved my character forward, like, oh, like this is fun, like, oh, the process, like that was something new, that was something exciting, that was something that I haven't been able to do before, or a little bit of progress, rather than seeing that for what it is, they hop on the scales and they're so upset that it went up randomly, even though it may have been tracking down. And that's so sad to me, but it's so indicative of the way that adults work, because we set this goal in mind and we're like, anything that's not there is not it. But when we play, there's no pressure to succeed or hit any metrics. We're just going there to do the thing, and we're rewarded by the process itself, because we don't necessarily worry about what the outcome is. Like, we might have some kind of outcome in our minds, like when you get out the board and you're playing Risk. I don't know who in their right mind would want to play Risk for fun. Like, I just got to say that. My husband's real into board games. I am not. But you have this idea, like, maybe if I win, I'll be stoked with that. Like, that's kind of the guiding star, but it's not the goal that most people play. Most people play because it's something fun to do with some friends for an hour or two, or 6 hours if it's Risk. And so if you don't win, then you're not super upset by that, but you're still doing the actions that make winning much more likely than if you give up, or like my sister would do, just cheat and then walk away or fall asleep or something. None of my family is really, some of my family is into board games, about half of us, 50-50 split, half will fall asleep or cheat, and then the others are very into it, so did not need to mention that detail at all. But without this pressure to succeed or hit metrics, it's not as difficult for us to enter that space. It's not difficult to kind of overcome this action thresholds that we have when we're just outcome-based, because there isn't a need to hit something to make it worthwhile. And if you think about this, just like going to the gym, if your goal, which I don't know anyone who does this, by the way, I kind of do, but if your goal was just to go to the gym and play, and you didn't have to lift a certain amount of weights, you didn't have to look like you knew what you were doing, you could hop on any piece of equipment you wanted, and it didn't matter if you did it right, if you just went there and you're like, I wonder what's going to happen, and I don't have to stay if I don't like it, and if I feel like it's not fun anymore, I'll leave. And there's no workout kind of regime to hit. Do you think that would be easier to just show up? Do you think that maybe part of our difficulty with doing these hard things that we need to get better at, that we need to repeat over and over again, like going to the gym, meal prepping, eating veggies, do you think that part of the reason that we're stalled in doing that is because we know it's going to be difficult and boring and take a really long time and so much effort when we're there? What if we just were like, you know what, I'm just going to play? And I don't think it's either or. So here's the thing. It's not either or. It's not you have to be playing and that's the only way to do it, or you have to be like 100% super serious about it. But if you come back to that golden rule, which is repetition is the formula for success, if you're finding that you're not putting in the reps, why not make it more fun? Why not make it more like playing so that you are more likely to do it? And the thing that gets me about this is that children do learn fast. They learn faster than we do through play most of the time. And the people, again, that get really good at things, they enjoy the process. They enjoy hopping on a board. Like, I'm following all of these. My whole Instagram feed is now skateboarding and tattoos and food, which says a lot about my life. But all that aside, they're just out there playing. They don't have to hit it every time. There's a lot of failing. There's a lot of falling. And it's the process. It's the micro wins that are enjoyable. And if you're not feeling it, you can go home because you're not there to do X amount of sets. Think about the immense pressure that adults put on themselves, that we dump on our own shoulders when we are babies at learning things. When we are children at the process, whatever it is, whatever the new thing is. I've talked to so many people who are incredibly intimidated just to go and step inside of a gym. They do not want to look stupid. They don't know what they're doing. And there is so much pressure to succeed. The thing is that we put that pressure on ourselves. And when we change our goal from being completely obsessed with the outcome to asking ourselves, well, how can I do something more and enjoy something more so that I actually do it more, therefore getting better, then it allows us to be curious and experiment. And if you're curious and you're okay with experimenting, then you're going to be more okay with failure. And what does this do again? It breaks down some of that action threshold to doing things because you don't have as much pressure. And the coolest thing is with this is that you get to decide what the rules are and what winning looks like. I remember very early on in my kind of personal development journey, I would say, I was working at a cafe and I read this book called, I think it was like Habits. It's not the 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, but it was a habits-based book and it was written by Brenda Burchard. It was basically talking about the character traits of people who are successful, and the habits that they practice. And one of the ones that stood out was confidence. I really, really wanted to be a confident person and I wanted to learn fast. And I realized that the more that I put myself out there, the faster that I could learn, the more that I got in front of uncomfortable situations, more I said, hey, put my hand up and said, hey, like, can I learn from you? Can I try this thing on my own? Can I have a go at doing this? Or can you give me this responsibility? The more that I did that, the more that I was able to practice confidence. So I had this kind of idea that was the end game. The end game was to put myself in uncomfortable situations so that I could become a more confident person. And so my rules changed. My rules became less about staying in my lane and being successful in my job and more about being uncomfortable. And part of that was being the weirdo. And I realized this recently, like, a big difference between the way that I act and how I see a lot of people struggling and being held back is that I've embraced winning as being weird. I don't see being strange and making a fool of myself as an inherently negative thing. In fact, I see that as a game for me to get over myself. And so I will intentionally do little things that allow me to win at the game of being weird. I will intentionally try to dance between sets at the gym because that's what a weirdo would do. And that's getting me outside of my comfort zone, because I want to be the kind of person who is confident enough to not give a crap what other people think when I'm working out and I'm like vibing to my Guilty Post Malone playlist, whatever. I want to be that person. And the amount of times that I see, especially women, this is what gets me, it's everyone, right? But especially women hold themselves back by this fear of looking stupid. It makes me so sad, because you miss out on so much fun. You miss out on so much learning and so much goodness because you're scared of looking stupid. What if that was the goal? Like, who gets to decide what winning looks like? You do. And I've met friends of mine at the skate park, like friends slash acquaintances, and been shocked that people sit on the sidelines rather than getting in the park because you're going to look like a fool. It's like, yeah, that's kind of the point. Like, it's not the point, but what if your goals could change? So some of the inherent kind of, or different ways that I try and win at my life is failing fast. Failing fast is a motto that I've had for about 4 or 5 years, and it comes from a book called The Lean Startup, because what they realized is that in growing startup companies, most of where they go wrong is they don't iterate fast enough. They don't release the product quickly, so they don't get real feedback from customers on what's working and what's not. So instead, they're perfecting these products that nobody wants. And a great friend of mine once put it as, don't polish a turd. Which I think is awesome. It's this idea of, like, you have to get something out there. You have to try. You have to take action, because that's where the feedback loop is. So failing fast has allowed me to gamify failure. It's allowed me to gamify trying things that I feel really uncomfortable doing, because failure is now an okay part of that process. It's the trying things that is the success. It's not whether I get it right or wrong. So I'm able to take more risks, which is also meaning I'm able to progress a lot faster in a whole lot of things. And I see this especially with the skill set I have around cooking. And I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about they're not vegan, they're trying to eat more of a plant-based lifestyle, and they were finding it difficult to cook foods that they enjoyed consistently. So it constantly felt like being on a diet. It caused me to reflect, as I am standing here, my standing desk, thank goodness, because my stomach is absolutely stuffed with the most delicious creamy Alfredo that we had this night we dined on Alfredo, and it was glorious. And the reason that I know how to make an Alfredo is from a lot of failure. The reason that I'm like, I know that if I blend cashews with a bit of stock powder and some salt and some herbs and maybe some lemon, it will turn into a semblance of a creamy sauce. I only know that because I've done so many sauces that have not worked out. How do we approach cooking normally? How do, I want to say boring adults, but like, man alive, we get boring sometimes. How do we approach cooking? How do we approach like learning a whole new skill set of meal prepping? Or if you've grown up not cooking your entire life, not feeling like you're intuitive around spices and putting things together or knowing what works, you come to learn the skill set and you're going to need to cook, or you're going to have to pay someone to do it for you, or you're going to have to eat very simply. All of those things are options, right? And now it's like, well, I got to make something that looks as good as Instagram. I got to make something that my family is going to enjoy. I've got the pressure that my kids are going to be like, ugh, that's disgusting. I hate it. And maybe even your spouse as well, which is even worse. So how do we approach that? We approach it with so much seriousness. It's like, oh, I got to make this. This is it. Like, I got to make this thing work. Like, if this meal doesn't work, if my family's not okay with this, if we eat something disgusting, oh, I just couldn't handle it. And what do? We don't try. We don't play. We don't get curious. We don't experiment. Because it's not just time and effort and people being mad at us, it's money on the line, right? Like, if you don't get that right, you're going to waste some food. But when you think about the process of play, that is part of learning. Part of becoming competent is making mistakes and failing. I'm not saying go out there and just shove a whole lot of things together and maybe it just you create some kind of crazy home cocktail bomb that I don't know where I'm going with this. Like it's late. It's like 10. It's 20 to 11 p.m. right now. But what I am saying is that if we approach this more with a childlike curiosity and the ability to experiment and kind of thought, you know what, if this meal is absolutely terrible, worst case scenario, we could get takeout. Worst case scenario, I could quickly put a potato in the microwave. Worst case scenario, we could have beans on toast. If you didn't have to have it so serious, maybe you could play a bit more. Maybe you could learn a few things and then become competent through that repetition. Coming back to just some of this idea of what winning looks like, and you get to decide. I intentionally do things that scare me as well. This is a way that I win because I've realized that the more I put myself in spaces of being uncomfortable, the faster I grow. And growing fast is really fun. Like growing in any way, making progress is inherently very, very satisfying. In fact, motivation is one of the only ways that we get motivation, or the best way that we get that is through being reinforced through seeing our progress and through having other people acknowledge that progress as well. And you think about children, like they get so much of this. They get so much intentional like reinforcement of progress, and they also normally, until they learn to kind of squash it, until we get them so obsessed about outcomes, they're normally really content with the process as well. They normally make a picture and they're like, look, mom, look what I did. It's amazing. Adults don't even try. They don't even put a pen on the paper because they're like, oh, I don't know what to draw and it will look dumb. Like that makes me so, I'm so angry at that. I'm so sad. I'm actually going to cry because it's, I taught an art class once. I taught an art class for a term. In case you didn't know, I studied fine art, and it saddened me so much that children as young as 9 and 10 would not try things because there was the good artist, doing air quotes in case you can't hear it through the microphone, the good artists were going to show them up. And they didn't feel like what they were going to do was good enough. And I didn't care what they did. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, art can be, if you've ever gone into a modern art museum, contemporary art, like, you know, it can be anything. It does not matter. But they wouldn't even try. And so it's like, well, how are you ever going to get better when you are too afraid to try? So I intentionally gamify things by asking myself, well, hey, like, does this scare me? Is this something that is kind of going to push me? And if it is, a lot of the time I do it. Another way that I intentionally try to win in the system is to take up space and practice confidence. I saw this reel one time where it was basically coaching people on how to deal with rejection in sales. And I had a door-to-door sales job. I'm telling you all, these are all the stories. Maybe you caught on, like, story is, I love story. Okay? I actually watched this TED talk and it was all about how story and emotion and connecting helps us to learn better as well, which is another thing that children do, interestingly enough. That is a side note. That is definitely a tangent. But as I was doing this door-to-door sales job, I had to deal with a lot of rejection. There were so many times where people were like, get off my porch. I hate this. This is like, what are you doing here? And I came out with these little quips to be like, no, it's not a religious call. It's not this. It's not that. And the sad thing was that most people who came in, it was commission-based only. Like, that's intense. Most people didn't last longer than 2 or 3 days. I would say 80% of the new employees that we had would not last that long. That was a very, very high turnover job. And so in sales, you obviously have to deal with a lot of rejection because at the end of the day, it's just a numbers game. The more people that you ask, the better you get, the more no's you get, the more yeses you get. And I saw this advice piece, which was part of the way that you can practice is by when you go out to order food, intentionally ask for either discounts or special requirements. And obviously, like, this is not like the nicest thing to do to a server. I've been in that position as well, but it's not the end of the world. But the idea of it is, like, take that for what you will. The idea of it was to get comfortable with taking up space. And I love this one as well, because anything that we do that is worthwhile doing is going to require us to take up a little bit of space, put ourselves a bit out there, especially if you are navigating changing your diet and changing your habits around the people that know you for who you are now. You are a beautiful butterfly. You're a caterpillar. You're a beautiful caterpillar. You are going into a chrysalis. You're going to morph as a beautiful butterfly. And part of that process is being this person that is okay with spreading their wings and looking completely different. Look at that beautiful analogy. Looking completely different from what they have done in the past. That is not going to be comfortable for all the other caterpillars. So you can change that outcome goal from having everyone like you and keeping the peace and not creating waves. Like, you get to decide my peace moving forward, me moving forward towards the goals that I have is that I take up space. That's kind of exciting. So recap before we move forward. We want to make repetition the easiest, absolutely fun, phenomenally rewarding process that we can on the things that we want to do, so that we actually get better in doing them. We get to decide what that looks like, what winning looks like. When we focus more on the process itself and enjoying the process, we are allowed to play. That means that there's no pressure. Most of what that does is that it allows us to take action faster and more consistently, because we don't have to make it worthwhile and we don't have to hit all these metrics. The way that you make this even more fun is gamifying things. And so we've talked about getting a different idea of what winning looks like. The other thing is to track as many small wins as you absolutely can, because we use these little wins to level up our character, and that's almost like unlocking a new level or a new superpower. And it's one of the things that makes video games so incredibly addictive. And when you think about playing Super Mario back in the day, if you ever did that, it's not just one big goal at the end. It's not just fighting Bowser and then rescuing Princess Peach and then the game is over. You have multiple different levels. You're collecting stars along the way. You've got these little mushroom things and these different characters and these other things that you can unlock. And that's only one teeny tiny, not even teeny tiny, very early, I would say somewhat primitive game that people have been playing for 20, 30, must be more than that. A long time. Like, I think the 80s. I could be very wrong on this. You may have figured out I am not a gamer. I do not like that world. I get distracted very easily. I don't think it would be good for me to get into it. Anyway, there is always a micro way of unlocking something. There is always a micro win to be had. And so this is where tracking small wins, which I've talked about in another episode, I think it was the last one, is so incredibly important, because adults get so fixated on the results. We're like, you know what, when I fit into my wedding dress, when I can do 10 pull-ups, when I can do X, like, then I'll be happy. It's like, well, that doesn't really work with keeping us motivated, because we're not getting that little tiny win along the way. And there's a lot of science that backs this up. There's a lot of data about tracking little metrics, finding as many ways as possible that you can win, because then it becomes more enjoyable. And this is something I've seen so much recently with getting into skateboarding. Yeah, as you can see, this has just unlocked like so many areas of my life. No, I'm kidding. But I'm seeing that, like, there's so many ways for me to win. If I do one little trick, or if I hop on my board and like I feel like somewhat comfortable, if I go up a little ramp and I come back down, like, this is what it is. Like, it's that small. It's going up a ramp and it's coming back down. I'm like, whoa, I went up a ramp and I came back down. Cool. Like, go me. Like, that's amazing. Or if I go down a hill, or all of these little things. There's so many micro ways to win. And so it becomes incredibly enjoyable. This is where mindset comes in, though. You get to decide how you're going to view and measure progress. Part of it is quantity. Part of it is being very intentional about how you do that. So quantity would be measure and track as many things as you can. How you're feeling. If you ate one Oreo when you would normally eat three, progress. Tiny level up, tiny step forward. Awesome. Pat yourself on the back. High five. Give yourself a high five right now and say, like, well done. Like, you're amazing. Like, go queen. Tracking the scales. You've got daily indications of up, down, data, metrics, quantity in number of steps, in kilometers walks, in active calories burned. Look, anything that you want to track, the more ways that you can win, the more that you are going to be successful. Let me give you an example. And this is really important as well, where you really get clear on the kind of behaviors that you want to achieve and the kind of game you want to play rather than just the outcome. I needed to go to the gym the other day, and because I have a goal to do 3 workouts a week. So that's it. Like, I don't have these, like, I want to Sarah Connor my shoulders. That's about it. I'm trying to grow a bit of a butt, mostly because I just really, really like the feeling of being strong. And as I've gotten more into skating, I'm like, you know what? I really, really want to be fit and strong. Like, this is my highest motivator, is to be fit and strong well into my late 30s and 40s and 50s and beyond. Like, I do not want to age prematurely, because it will massively affect what I enjoy doing. That is my biggest motivator for going to the gym. And I started walking down, because, like, you know what? I've got to hit my step goal, because I hadn't been moving all day. I started walking down. It is a consistent decline hill to the gym from my house. I got about 200 meters. And I was like, this is gonna take me at least an hour to get there, at least 40 minutes. It's boring. I don't like walking at the best of times. And I was like, you know, I could be on my board right now. But there was this little voice in my head that was like, mark off your steps. You need to mark off your steps. And I was like, well, what's the purpose of me marking off my steps? The purpose of me tracking that is so that I move, so that I'm active. If I'm on my board, I'm going to be moving more. I'm going to be, my heart rate is going to be up way higher. I'm actually going to have fun. I'm going to get there faster, and I'm most likely going to do my steps anyway. So I walked the 200 meters back up to the hill, came inside, and Nick's like, whoa, that was fast. No. And grabbed my board and I skated down, and I had like the most insane leg workout, because when you're balancing on one leg and you're scuffing your foot along the concrete to try and slow down on a hill, it's a workout. It's like, that's the reason that when I'm doing Bulgarian splits at the gym and one of my legs is really pulling their weight, the other one is really not. And that is why. But it was this kind of moment where I was like, huh, like, what's the goal? How do I make this fun? It's not about hitting the steps. It's about movement. It's about creating a fun playing time that allows me to do the things that I want to do. And I think it's really important that we remember that, because we don't want to get caught up on arbitrary measures of success that aren't actually getting us closer to where we want to be. And this is where play comes into things, because the more fun we make it, the more it just becomes second nature, because we want to do it. If you enjoyed the kind of exercise that you were doing, if you enjoyed the food that you were making, do you think it would feel like such an effort? Or would it just be like, well, this is just a fun game? And I really do feel like that when I'm cooking. A lot of the time it's like, oh, what can I make today? I see something on Instagram, I'm like, that looks really interesting. Oh, could I put olives in this? Could I put capers? How many vegetables can I add? It's like it's a true game of how many vegetables can I add to this meal that I want to make. And I love that. I enjoy it. And a lot of it's like, well, how can I recreate this thing that I had at a restaurant? How can I make it even better? How can I make Nick go, this is so good, Charles? I think so much of my enjoyment is the fact that I have these micro daily wins, where if I can make a delicious, healthy, veggie-filled meal that I enjoy and that Nick enjoys, like, that feels really satisfying to me. It's a game. It's a game of, like, how much can I enjoy this? But when I hated it, and I do remember this, I did the raw smoothie thing. I did the cold salads in the dead of winter. I did the counting calories. I feel like I've done everything, and I hated every second of it. It was never a game, and it was constant drudgery. And you can't really maintain something like that because you're not getting the satisfaction of feeling like you're making any progress. You're not getting the satisfaction of moving along the board, to use that metaphor. And so when you see people who are doing consistently difficult things, they're not punishing themselves. Like, I think that's really important to remember, is that they are getting enjoyment. This person that goes out and runs the ultra marathon, they enjoy that because they have a skill set that allows them to. They have the repetition behind them that becomes more fun. And we know this about forming skills and creating habits, is that as you up level, you do find more things fun. It's the same as, you think about this with kids. If you are learning to read, you don't really like it. It's not a fun process. Once you can start reading Harry Potter, once you can get stuck in Lord of the Rings or Dune, which is what I'm reading at the moment, you will love it. You will be hard pressed to stop. The point being that no one's just doing something with no reward ever. They're getting some kind of reward. They've probably got different ways of tracking that. They've probably got a different skill system. And most likely, they've decided what winning looks like. And it will look different to possibly what you've decided winning looks like. And games are fun and addictive because getting to new milestones tend to be just out of our current reach. They're not miles and miles ahead. They're not the ultra marathon, they're the, oh, get my shoes on consistently and hop out the door. Yay, new level unlocked. I got hopped out the door. So use that knowledge to go, well, what's that next teeny tiny step? What's something just small? What's a star that I can collect? Because that is what becomes really fun. The biggest piece about gamifying is that you have to have reward. I'm learning this more and more, is that without rewards, we do not have the mechanism that confirms to our brains that we have to keep doing that behavior. And this is evident by James Clear's Atomic Habits, where you've got the four stages to actually forming habit. You first have a cue. This is the trigger. It's the thing that gets you to change your state of behavior or know that you want to change something. After that, you have the craving. And the craving is the desire to change your state because you've had a cue to know that you need to change it. And then you have the response. This is the action that you do. And then you have some kind of reward, which is what confirms to your brain that that was a good behavior. And you think about, if you're learning that you want, that cake is enjoyable, you see cake, you've got a cue, you want to eat it, you eat it as the thing that you do, the response, and then you get a reward because it tastes good. If it didn't taste good, if you tried cake and it was yuck, and then you tried it again, it was disgusting, and then you tried it again, you got sick, it does not take long for you to not want to eat cake, because that is not an enjoyable experience. So if you're wanting to build a habit around literally anything, and then you finish and you're like, oh, that wasn't good enough. Oh, I should have done better. Oh, I could have, I would have, I'm so disappointed, I'm so frustrated, all the buzzwords of anyone who's dieting. Frustrated, disappointed, failure, self-sabotage, all of these things that we tell ourselves constantly. Do you think you're going to keep doing that if those are things that you say about it and yourself? I'm going to guess no. Because who would? Like, would a child, if you were saying that to them, they bring you this little bouquet that they've spent 5 minutes foraging wildflowers for, and you're like, that sucks. You should quit. What do you think you're doing? Chances are they don't bring you another one. Finally, as serious as this all feels, as important as weight loss and hitting your goals and how you feel and your confidence and all of those things are, as serious as they may feel, we are all dying. It's going to sound so morbid, but I think there's a lot of hope in it. And I'm a pretty serious person. I think about things deeply. I feel things very deeply. I have big highs and I have big lows. And the other night, I was talking to Nick, and we were candidly talking about him dying and how many years we had left and what that's going to look like. And there's this kind of feeling, and if you've experienced grief, you probably know it, where if you don't laugh about things, if your humor is not just a little bit facetious, you're probably going to cry. That is the case for me. And sometimes I do both within the same sentence. But we're talking about death, and I've been thinking about death a lot recently. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. I don't know if it's because of Nick's situation. I don't know why it is, but things are starting to feel less serious to me. As I am hurtling headlong towards nothingness, essentially, I do actually believe that there is more to life than just what we have here. I believe that there is something beyond this life, that there is a God and that there is hope, that our lives are not just this kind of blip in the world. And that gives me a lot of peace about what comes next. But as I think about my life, I'm realizing that so many of the things that feel very serious on a day-to-day basis are really not. And when we look at them in the context of the fact that we are going to die and that nothing that we're doing is really going to matter all that much, it gives us more freedom to play. It gives us more freedom to roll with the inevitable punches, to get back up and try again, to own our story and to play the game better, because whether we win or lose, we may as well just play it well. A couple of weeks ago, I was lying in bed in the morning and I had read an email the night before of someone who was pretty unhappy with me. And because our motto is fail fast within Lean with Plants and the program, and because if you're in a business, there are always fires to fight, there were some things that were like not ideal there. And it's like, it sounds really serious to say that, but it's like, this is just business as usual. There is almost always fires to fight and things that are going wrong nearly constantly. Until this point, like almost weekly, I'm like, huh, like, wow, we didn't die. We got through that week. And I knew that there was an email that I had to deal with. I knew that there was someone not happy with me and some of the reasons were very justified. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to deal with it. And I was lying in bed stressing about my day. And I was like, Charles, you're going to deal with it. You're going to do your absolute best to remedy the situation. It's not actually a big deal either way. Like, it wasn't a big thing. It's okay that you're going to address this and you're going to do your best. And it's okay that this person is not happy with you. Like, me stressing about it was not going to change it. And I just had this like weight lift off my shoulders where I was like, it doesn't matter. And it wasn't blasé. It wasn't like indifference. It was just compartmentalizing it, because I was like, you know, I'm gonna move my piece forward. I'm gonna overcome the obstacle. I'm going to collect the star or whatever it is. I'm gonna fight the big boss or whatever. Gaming, we're talking about gaming things. I'm not a gamer. I was gonna address it, and so I was like, well, I don't need to worry about it. Cause is it really worth it? Like, it isn't. And this idea of my life almost being like a video game and that taking it less seriously has helped me so much to deal with negative emotions. Because like, yeah, I'm like, well, yeah, like what if Nick dies in the next 10 years? What if, which is horrible, like what if I get cancer? What if this? There's all these things that happen. If my life is just a video game, then it's just another obstacle for me to up-level. Or it's just another thing. Like, if I'm kind of almost taken out from that having to go a certain way and that having to be so serious, it's like, oh yeah, oh okay, oh yeah, I feel crappy today. Even just dealing with negative emotions and being like, you know what, it's not a big deal. Like, life is constant negative emotions. And so when I have them, is it really a big deal? Is it something that I need to feel bad about feeling bad for? And Mark Manson talks about this in his book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F. And it is basically, feeling crap is not a big deal. Because if it was a movie or a game that you were watching from the sidelines, you wouldn't worry about it. So when you're in pain, if you're anxious, if you hate what you're eating, like you put the potato and the broccoli in front of you, you're like, oh my gosh, I hate this. Or you have to go to the gym, or you decide that you aren't going to go to the gym, and it feels horrible and it's hard. It's like, so what? So what? Yeah, things are hard. It feels hard. It's like, yeah, it's just a part of this. It's just a part of the process of life. Like, it's okay. Where we get stuck is what he calls the feedback loop from hell, is when we're just overanalyzing and we're feeling terrible about feeling terrible. Whereas when you accept and embrace that, because it's at the end of the day, it's not going to matter, then you're able to overcome that so much more. Like, I cannot tell you how much this idea of just like being okay with negative emotions has helped me. Because when I do feel sad, I'm not trying to escape it all the time. Like, you know what? Oh, I feel really sad right now. Like, I'm experiencing a lot of grief. Like, this hurts. I don't want to feel this. Like, I want to do anything to get away from it. And then I'm like, but I don't have to. I can feel sad. Like, it's okay to feel sad. It's not a big deal to feel sad. It's a unifying, universal human experience. You also don't have to do anything. I was having a discussion with a friend of mine the other day, and they were telling me about a goal that they'd had for many years and something that they were working towards. And I know about it. I've heard all about it. I've helped them with it. And it just wasn't coming along. This is someone I haven't connected with for quite a while. And I started getting into what my husband would probably call interrogation mode. I'm just very curious about things. And I was like, well, what's been your strategy with this? And what have you done about this? And because I was trying to figure out, this person is saying like, they've had all these obstacles. And I'm just trying to figure out like, okay, so like, oh, like, what have you done? Have you done this? Have you done this? Have you just, like, I just wanted to know. It wasn't accusatory or anything like that. And I got to the point where I realized like, This actually was hitting really hard for this person. It was not a fun experience for them. And I was like, okay, like, pull it back, Charles. It doesn't have to be an interrogation. Then I just had this kind of realization. I was like this person, like, I know that they're capable of achieving this goal. I know that it is possible, but they don't have to. Like, whether they do or don't, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. They're hating the process. It's not a game for them. They have no little micro wins, and they're not doing the things. Like, realistically, they were not doing the things that were going to allow them to see progress in a micro or macro way. And so when you don't do those things, this is the hard part of all of this, is that this is a game, but if you don't play it, it's not fun. If you don't fail, if you don't roll the dice, if you don't move your character forward and take some risks, even when you don't know what you're doing, like, it is not fun because you do not get the reward part of it. And so he was trying to play this game, and it really was awful. It was awful for him. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, why are you playing? Like, that, I didn't say this, but this is what I'm thinking. I'm like, why are you playing? It isn't, at the end of the day, if you're hating it and you're not prepared to do that, then you don't have to do it. Whether you're wildly successful in your endeavors or you're not, at the end of the day, we still rot in the ground. So you've got to take ownership of what you want because it's important to you, not because you have to do it. And this comes back to radical responsibility, is like, you get to decide that. So stop making the process so serious, because you die either way. And I heard this great quote. Well, I liked it. Probably someone else is going to hate it. That's okay. And it went like this. It's one of my favorite people, Alex Hormozy. And he said, at your funeral, friends and family will argue over who gets what. People will want food to eat. The topic will shift from your life to their lives. They'll drive away thinking about their looming to-do list. Some people won't be able to make it because something came up. And we worry about a low-performing post on social media, or what someone thinks of us, or a bad customer review, or whether we're going to finish our to-do list in time. We die like we go to sleep, with things unsaid and unfinished. The only judge whose complete context in our lives dies with us. That may be different depending on your views. A reminder of the heavy weight we place on things that matter little. And I liked this so much because it's so true. It's like, no matter what, we're all hurtling towards the same end. And the more you realize that the more you are going to do things for yourself, and you're going to take ownership of them without guilt. Because this is the thing that gets really difficult, is that if you have this idea that you have to lose weight, or that you want to lose weight to achieve some kind of goal, but you're not prepared to do those things and you're not going to play the game, then you're not going to see an amazing results. You're not going to have that reward of the feedback loop, and you're going to constantly feel victimized. That's the big piece, because you're going to feel like something outside of you is telling you that you have to do it, rather than taking ownership, whereas that's something that you want. It's an outcome that you, only you, want. No, it doesn't matter to anyone else. It's not going to matter in the end anyway. So if you're going to do it, do it. And if you're not, then in some ways, like, don't. Like, no one's telling you you have to do that except yourself. I love that, because it means that it really gets you to think about the things that you're doing in that light of, like, this is for me. This is my choice. It's less serious in a way, but it's also like it's more serious, where you go, like, this is about playing the game. It's not just about the end goal. Think about this, where, like, how often do we go, oh, like, I can't eat that food, or I can't eat that treat, or, oh, I'm not allowed that. We go out to drink. Oh, I'm not allowed to drink. I'm on a diet, or blah, blah, blah. It's like, no one's saying that. Like, you made those decisions. You put your chess piece on the board. You can do whatever the heck you want. Do whatever the heck you want. But is it what you really want? Remember the difference between just momentary pleasure or hedonism and actually playing. Playing is about those micro wins. It's about progress. It's about moving your piece forward. So if you want that for yourself, then you got to own your moves. And with that, because we approach all this so seriously, rather than looking in the context of such a short life, we ascribe so much meaning to failure and missing the mark, rather than holding those things lightly. Because the past and what has happened is done. And when we go, you know what, it doesn't inherently matter. Like, if you eat cookies or you eat vegetables, it doesn't inherently matter. It doesn't make you a better person. You're not, like, morally superior. You're not going to... because we're on this train, we're doing it, we're going there. You're not going to rot any differently with if you were a broccoli eater or you're an Oreo muncher. Like, at the end of the day, like, maybe you will if you're 100 pounds heavier than someone who's not. But at the end of the day, like, the outcome is the same. So when those bad things happen and when those setbacks happen, like, it's not a big deal. Because you can't change it anyway. It doesn't change who you are as a person. I just think we're just holding all of these things so badly, like, so, with so much weight. It's not a pun. We eat something off plan and we're, like, catastrophizing about it. And we're like, oh my gosh, I'm so bad. And it's like, no, you just ate something off plan. Like, move on. Stop being such a drama queen. Like, seriously. It's only that because we ascribe it so much meaning. We ascribe so much meaning to eating something off plan. We ascribe so much meaning to how it makes us feel to do that. That feeling of inadequacy. And like, so what if we just own that? What if we're like, you know, yeah, well, I did something dumb. I did eat that. I feel crap. I feel guilty. I feel like a failure. Move on. Like, we all feel like that. That's part of playing. That's okay. But it's like, if you can't change it. So just move on and keep playing. Keep moving your piece forward. Two big takeaways from this is that it's not super serious. It's at the end of the day, it's a game. And when we see it that way, we learn faster and we progress more consistently. We need repetition in order to learn. We need to create that muscle memory. So the more that we can make things fun and enjoyable and remove some of this pressure to succeed that makes it harder for us to enter the playing field, the more likely we are to do it consistently and actually build that. The second piece of this is that we must have reward in order to solidify those behaviors. So we want to make sure that we have those micro rewards, that we celebrate tiny amounts of progress, that we take ownership for things, so that it's not a detrimental process. It doesn't feel like the worst thing in the world as we're moving forward, because we won't keep playing. I've had fun. I've tried to have fun with this episode, and hope you've enjoyed it as well, and I'll see you next week for another one. Let me just put this out there. If you are needing help on your weight loss journey, if you are sick of dieting and you want to learn the toolkit, the food, the habits, the behaviors, and have the accountability system that makes it fun and rewarding and gamifies the system in order for you to succeed, and you want a personal plan to do that, then that is what we do best at Lean with Plants. You can have a look in my description for how to hop on a free strategy session. We'll go over with you how we can set up some systems in order for you to start making progress if you are wanting to accelerate your results. I'm going to put that out there. And if you are needing help just knowing what to eat for weight loss, how to create weight loss meals, then I created a free mini course for you. Both of these things are free, free consult and a free mini course. So have a look in the description if either of those resonate with you and you need more help. And like I said, I will see you again next week for another episode. All right, bye. Bye.